Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, with great thanksgiving, we come to you this morning. And Lord, as we look out and see the Passover moon, we are amazed at your perfection. We're amazed at the order in the universe. We're amazed that we look at the calendar and we see exactly when the full moon is going to be year after year, when Passover is going to be year after year. And Lord, you are faithful in so many ways, but just the visual sight of the full moon out there is just kind of a reminder that, yes, this is Passover, such a special day. And Lord, the real Passover was not the exodus for us out of Egypt, but it's the exodus for us out of sin. It is the true Passover Lamb who came to shed his blood for us. And so, Lord, we just thank you. And we praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I've got a very encouraging thought for you this morning. Once again, with regard to witnessing. You know, last week I was bragging about on the Lord, I hope not about myself, but about his faithfulness in witnessing. And so today we have a great prayer in the Bible in Luke chapter 10, verse 21. And the context of this prayer is that Jesus had had the experience on the Mount of Transfiguration, had come down from the mountain, had healed that man's son where the disciples couldn't heal it. And he said, this sign comes out by nothing but prayer and fasting. And then we moved on in and he sent another 70 disciples out to witness around Israel. Sending them out without any money and anything. He was just going to show them that they could go and be fully provided for, and they were. And then we have them coming back from this mission trip, and they are excited. And so in chapter 10, they were saying, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. Oh, my, it was a wonderful trip. And Jesus said, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Then he went on to say this prayer that we have today. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. As we get into this morning, let's just sing this familiar song, Just As I Am. And I just think about the Lord just using us just as we are, just receiving us just as we are. We don't have to have advanced degrees to be a witness. We don't have to have any degrees to be a witness. We don't have to take any courses to be a witness. He uses, as we read, the simple. He has not chosen the wise, generally speaking, as we have in this prayer. So the thought came to mind as just as I am. So let's sing along, Just As I Am. The words are on the back of your sheet there. You know them anyway, I believe. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me.
Thank you.
God, I come, and again reminding us of today is Passover, as you look out and see that full moon. And so it would have been on this very day, I believe, years ago, that Jesus was hanging on the cross, paying the price for your sin and for mine. Well, I mentioned earlier, for those of you who were here when I first started, I think I mentioned it anyway, we have a very encouraging prayer today with regard to witnessing. This account is in the Gospel of Matthew as well, and we covered it before. And in the Matthew account, there's only one difference, and it begins this little verse by saying, "In that hour, Jesus answered and said," and we talked about how close Jesus was to God, that he could answer a question from God even without having the question given to us in the scriptures. And we talked about that. And then in the Matthew account, he went right on into the "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." And we talked about that. Well, now, another good example of the benefit of the Gospels giving the various things in little different ways. Today in the Luke account, what is the difference in the Luke account from the Matthew account? Only one thing. It says, "In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit." Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. I was not aware that that word "rejoice" there is one of only two times it's used in the Bible. That Greek word, "rejoice," is used a lot, but it's only, usually is always charis. It's always related to joy, which is charis. But in this instance, and also in the Magnificat of Mary, where Mary is rejoicing in her spirit, those two times Luke uses it, and he uses it only in the Bible, and it is a greater rejoicing than rejoicing, if you understand. It's exalting to the full in exceedingly great joy. So this is the only time in the scripture we have where we're told Jesus rejoiced. Now, why did he rejoice? I'd like to know when Jesus rejoices. Well, if you go back to the context, he rejoiced to hear these 70 nobodies. I'm saying nobodies, but he's talking about very humble, simple people, really. He's rejoicing. They went out and they witnessed. And they came back and they were all excited. And then he told them, "Don't rejoice in this," which is the charis word again, but "rejoice, charis, in that your names are written in the book of life." And then in that very same hour, he has this high exaltation of rejoicing in praying to the Father. So that means that he is rejoicing when you witness and when I witness. And he says here to the Father, "I thank you, Lord of heaven and earth." And we could make a whole study on that and look at the times that that phrase is in the scripture. "I thank you, Lord of heaven and Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight." And that is very encouraging, because that means he can use me. He can use you. It doesn't mean that he uses, or it doesn't mean that he won't use, the wise and the prudent, but primarily he's not using the wise and the prudent. He's not using just the select few. He's using everyone and anyone who's available. And I'm not against Bible college. I'm not against courses in the Word. I'm not against any of these things. However, you don't need any of those to witness if you are in the Spirit with our Lord. And I just think that is so awesome. So, he rejoiced in the Spirit. And that tells us that that is the true rejoicing that we can have as well, in the Spirit. Now, we can rejoice in a world kind of a way based on circumstances and so forth and be exceedingly happy for a time. But the real true rejoicing is not on the outside, it's from the inside. And so we see Jesus didn't sing very much that we have. Of course, we have him singing the Hillel songs and all. But here he's just bursting out with praise and thanksgiving, really, as it says, "In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit." We are fortunate today in this particular section to have, I think it's fortunate, to have this scripture covered by Spurgeon in his Morning and Evening, and I printed it in the notes. It's in the March 24 evening in the Morning and Evening book. And I passed out a clipboard to you that those of you who would like to receive a great message on prayer from Spurgeon, it's an audio message, it's, of course, it's narrated by a current living guy, but it's his original sermon, and it's a great message. It's called Prayer, the Forerunner of Mercy. And so I'd like to email that to you, but I want to do it by Google Drive because these audio files you can't email. They're too big for a regular email. So if you don't have a Gmail address, sign up for a Gmail address, and it'll show you on the internet how to do that. And then when you get that email from me, you just hit the button and enter your address and password, and then sign in, and then hit another button, and you got the audio. And I think you'll be really blessed by it. Peggy and I certainly were. I certainly was. So as we summarize this prayer here and go to prayer, we see this is the only time that we have in the Bible that Jesus rejoiced, and we know the occasion. By the way, the Greek language there in this is similar to John 4, 32 to 38. The words are not the same, but the idea is the same, of Jesus rejoicing when he was following the woman at the well in Samaria, and the disciples came back and said, in a sense, you must be starving. Here's food. And he said, what? I have food that you do not know of. And he's talking there about the harvest, and he's also talking about the harvest being white. And when he talks about the harvest, he rejoices. So that should be an encouragement for us, right? You know, it's so amazing because he doesn't really need us. He can do it a lot better with angels, but he will use us. And the Great Commission is that we are to be usable, right? We are to be witnesses. So we see here that he rejoices. He was truly a man of sorrows, but he did have seasons of intense delight. And we see that here, Hebrews 12:2 also has for the joy, there against Charis, but the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame. And what a blessed picture for us, the church, that we have here as well. Because as we follow him,